Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Natstown. Welcome to a hastily prepared edition of Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols from the District Sports Page, Federal Baseball's doghouse on the line. Nationals take 3-4 from the Phillies with a 4-1 win today. Most important news of the day, reports of Steven Strasburg's demise have apparently been greatly exaggerated. 4-1 and 11 career starts versus the Phillies, a 2.09 ERA going into the game. That's the best ERA against any of the NL East opponents of the Nationals. 206, 237, 308 line against in 69 innings pitched in his career against the Phillies. So if he's going to bounce back, this is a good bet for the team he'd do it against. Starts off with a super efficient 21 pitches and 3 scoreless, 9 up and 9 down. 4 innings on 32 pitches, gives up a hit in the 5th, but 5 scoreless on 50 pitches, 6 scoreless on 71, 7 on 84, out after 95 innings pitched, 95 pitches and 7 and 3rd innings, 1 earned run. Dominant outing day from Steven Strasburg, and nice to see him bounce back and against a depleted Phillies team, granted, but he was still really sharp out there on the mound, had the changeup working, fastball mid-90s again, didn't even throw too many curveballs today, he just really needed those 2 pitches.
Yeah, you know, I think the one appearance there in the middle of the game, Ryan Howard kind of said it all with the way Strasburg was working today. Started him with a fastball, gave him a changeup that he just flailed wildly at, blew a high fastball by him, and then gave him 3 straight changeups to strike him out. And really, when Strasburg's going, he's fun to watch. I know a lot of people have done some number crunching and some pitch counting on him this year, and it seems like he's throwing fewer and fewer curveballs and relying more on the fastball. But today, really, his changeup was his best pitch, and it's one of the better changeups in the major leagues. I mean, the Phillies, let's get this straight, are not very good, but Strasburg came out and really did his job today and carried the Nats to the series victory.
So, guys, he threw a lot of pitches last time out in Boston, not a particularly sharp outing, but really efficient today. More important than anything else, I think he was able to limit his amount of pitches and stay out there as long as he did because of that.
Yeah, Strasburg really showed us today that, as Dave said, when he's on, and it's terrific to watch. His changeup, which he was having trouble with his last start, had good movement on it today. He had great command. He was putting pitches right where he wanted to put him. And this really, he really came through with the threat to strike people out. He got a lot of quick outs and sort of, you know, quote, pitch to contact in the early innings. But you think about why is that? It's because the Phillies hitters know if they get behind Strasburg when he's on, he's going to strike them out. He's going to move to that change. He's going to bring that big whiteout curve, and they're going to flail at it and be gone. They don't want to get to a 2-strike count to him. So the first fastball that looks hittable to him, they're going to go after it. And if he's placing it well like he was today, it's going to be somewhere where they're not going to get contact. And all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of 7-pitch innings and quick outs. So P2K leads to P2C, all good things happening from P2K. So strike them all out.
David Buchanan, nothing spectacular, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, 2-seam cutter, curve and change that – about 10 miles slower than his fastball. Held the Nats scoreless through 4, though, before Denard Span started a 2-out rally in the 5th. Span singles, scores on a Desi double. Jason Worth drives in a run with a single. Ryan Zimmerman, 2, 3-0 at that point. Nationals should probably beat up on David Buchanan, but he put together a decent start out there on the mound, at least held the Phillies in there for a while he was on the mound.
Yeah, like you said, Buchanan's nothing special. Obviously, this season he's had a rough go of it. Even after today's 3-run and 5 innings, he's pitching to a 9.22 ERA. So this is a guy that the Nats really should feast on. And you know, it was good to see. Hey, look at there, your leadoff hitter's back in the game, and he starts to rally for you. So obviously, the Nats have been by Worth's return and by Span's return now in their last 7 games, they've scored 40 runs, and that's more along the lines of what the Nats were expecting when they started the season. And you know, people can say it was excuse making all that they want the first 8 or 10 games of the season, but missing 3 of your top 8 hitters is really going to do damage to your lineup, and it's no wonder that the Nats are scoring runs now that Worth and Span have returned.
So, guys, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the Nationals did make the move official this morning. the Nards fan comes back, Michael Taylor goes down. I want to get both of your takes on this, so feel free to respond right afterwards, Dave. But Michael Taylor sent back down to AAA to make room for the Nards fan. Seems to make sense to me to keep Taylor getting regular at bats, bring him up when you need him at some point this season. I'm sure he's going to be back up, but the Nationals send him down to AAA after a nice start to the season by Taylor.
Yeah, certainly it's a fascinating idea of keeping Taylor around as your extra outfielder, but I think it's doing that at the risk of stunting his development is not a winning strategy for the Nats long term. They want him to be down in AAA, getting regular reps in the outfield, getting regular at bats, so that in 2016, if Span's not back, he's ready. I mean, he looks ready now, but imagine what he'll be with another season of constant playing time and practice in the minors. So I think this is the right move for the Nets.
I totally concur. The Nets need to have Taylor playing every day. It might even be a situation, Doghouse, where the Nets don't wait until 2016 to instill him as their center fielder. If they get to the trade deadline and they think that Taylor's ready to assume the everyday center field slot, that they could end up even trading Span, for assets there. I don't expect them to do that, but it's a possibility. If they find themselves at the trade deadline and need a piece, he could end up being that piece of the move, since he is a free agent and in all likelihood would not be re-signed. So get Michael Taylor every day at bats, get him every day in the outfield, and then once we get to 1st of July, we'll see where things stand that way. But definitely good to see the Nats get Span back in the lineup, get him at the top of the order and start to generate some more offense there.
That ends the day 1-for-5, 2 runs scored, 2 Ks in his first major league at-bats of the season. Good to see him back, and I kind of agree with you, Dave. I don't expect them to trade him at the deadline, but they picked up his $9 million option for this year. He's kind of stated that he would like to test free agency. When you get to this point in your career, 31 years old, and you have a chance to go out there and get a big payday, you can't hold it against anyone for going for that. So the Nationals, most likely, if they're in it, are not going to trade Nards fan this year, but it is a possibility with everyone they have going into free agency this year, including, as I make a smooth segue, Ian Desmond, 6-game hit streak after singling in his first at-bat, 12-for-22 over that stretch at that point. Offense hasn't been the issue, of course, for him, Doghouse. I think I noticed a new glove on Ian Desmond out there today. No errors in the game, so clearly it was the old glove's fault if that is the case.
Yeah, I don't know why he was playing with the one that had the hole in it this whole time, or the little spike that was interfering with his transfers or whatnot. You know, maybe that was some late hazing going on again. The Nats seem to be doing a lot of that so far in these early games. But Desmond didn't make any errors today. He hasn't had any trouble contributing offensively so far this season. And he certainly stepped right in this game, doubled in a run to get the Nats on the board. He's been showing some patience. He walked today. What's up? Ian Desmond's walked like 2 or 3 times already this season. What's going on here? He seems to realize that it is a contract year, and he's putting together all aspects of his offensive game. Let's see if that defensive game settles into place as well.
Dave, it's hard not to pay attention to those errors because he has made 8 of them now in 13 games, made it out of the game today without making one, though. I can only remember 1 or 2 balls at the most hit towards him today, so that was probably helpful too, but hard, it kind of obscures the fact that he went into the game with a 298, 353, 426 line after 13 games. Certainly not carrying it over to the plate, at least. Matt Williams kind of praised him while talking about the errors last night and saying that he's able to separate that really well and keep the offense up while the defense is struggling.
Yeah, he kind of has to, because he's really put the Nats, in harm's way with the glove this year. And this is a case where Desmond can be a plus player on both sides of the ball. Obviously, he has not been this year, but is really heating up, really feasted on Phillies pitching over the weekend, and at least he's making every effort to pull his weight on that side of the ball, because just to be completely honest, he's been absolutely brutal thus far in the field.
Yeah. Ryan Zimmerman, Doghouse, 2-for-4 today. More importantly, pulled the old Hunter Pence broken bat on a single late in the game, the 7th inning that drove in the Nats' final run of the game, put them up 4-0 at that point. Managed to break his bat, hit off the handle, and hit it off the barrel, completely changed the direction of it. We saw Pence do that in the postseason last season, but that's not something you see too often, though. 2-for-4 games from Ryan Zimmerman are something you do see all the time.
Yeah, that was. I hope that that replay ends up on the inner tube somewhere, so that if you all didn't see that in the game today, see that. This is why super slow-mo exists, so that we can see that ball come in on his hands, break the bat, sort of squirt off towards first baseline. It's sure to be a little dribbler there, and yet somehow he hits it again off the barrel, sends it straight up the middle, and it's an RBI. That. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we watch baseball, well, among many reasons, for the rare, weird things that turn up and reward the diligent viewer. Of course, normally Zim's going to get his hits legit, and, you know, we saw it again today. Harper gets walked in front of him, so what does he do? He pokes a double the other way and gets an RBI. When will they learn? Stop walking people in front of Zimmerman. Or, no, sorry, strike that. Keep walking people in front of Zimmerman. I like watching what happens.
I'll just note that if I didn't know you were not on Twitter, I'd be seriously disappointed that you weren't following me, or else you would have seen the vine that I tweeted out of Zimmerman's two-hit single. But I know you're not on Twitter, so I won't take it personally.
Is that one of those interview things that the kids are doing?
It is. That and Meerkat. Dave, Slughouse mentioned Bryce Harper 0-for-2 at the plate, but 2 walks, 1 intentional there at the end, still seeing the ball well, made a really nice play in the last inning on a line drive to right, kind of took the wrong route at first, but turned around the other way, made a catch on a really hard hit ball by Carlos Ruiz, if I remember correctly. It was Cesar Hernandez, sorry, but a nice play by Harper in the outfield there.
Yeah, you know, Harper's been an interesting watch thus far this season. Seems like all he does is hit home runs and walk and make the occasional nice play out in the outfield. It's refreshing in its simplicity that we don't have to worry about that much of a complicated game out of Harper. You know, so far so good. There hasn't been any real fiascos either play-wise, attitude-wise, or otherwise, except for that silly haircut. I mean, for the love of God, can somebody get a pair of shirts on that stuff?
From the hair challenge like ourselves, it's even more insulting. So, but Bryce Harper with another good game out there, even though he went 0-for-2 on the plate. The Nationals had a lead after Strasburg was out of there, 1 run in 7 1/3, so they turned to the 8-10. Matt Thornton comes on to finish off the 8th inning. Drew Storen gives up 2 hits but earns his 4th save in the 9th doghouse. Another nice outing from Storen. Gave up a single to left by Ryan Howard. Ben Revere single up the middle. Wasn't particularly hard hit either, but gets through the inning, gets his 4th save of the season.
Well, I admit, a little nervous during that during his save there. I heard FP make a snide comment about a Storiano save, and this wasn't quite that, but there were some of those balls that looked a little scary right off the bat. And got tracked down reasonably deep in the outfield there. The one that was hit to right, especially, that was fairly well hit. Harper made a nice play on that to sort of recover from a bad first step. But you know, no run scored, so we'll give him full credit for that one. But I want to see a little more out of Storen before I'm ready to sit down and declare that he is. He is being nails out there as the closer. I still think he looks a little shaky. He's got to get a little more into the groove here before we're going to have ultimate confidence in the high leverage performance.
Dave, after dropping two, the British lady interrupted me, sorry, dropping 2-3 to the Mets and the Phillies in each of the first two series with their division rivals, the Nationals take 3-4 with today's win. You got to beat up on the teams below you in the division. Matt Williams kind of joked that after they lost 2-3 to the Phillies to the Mets that they were chasing them in the division now. But the Nationals have to win these games against the teams that are expected to finish below them in the division, and managed to do it with the Phillies today. Take 3-4. Now they got a tough series with the Cardinals coming up. 3 games in the nation's capital this week, starting Tuesday night.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I want to ask you a question again because I don't remember correctly. Where did the Nats get Thornton from, and what did they give up for him?
They gave up nothing and got him off the waiver wire in one of the smoothest Rizzo punch-to-head moves of the last couple of years.
That's right. In Rizzo we trust. Yeah, no, the Cardinals series is going to be fun. A couple of good pitching matchups, and obviously the best competition the Nats have faced this year. So bring on the Cardinals.
Nationals 6-7 after the win over the Philadelphia Phillies today. 4-1 final in the nation's capital. A day off tomorrow, and it's back to work on Tuesday night. St. Louis Cardinals in town for a 3-game set. Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and FederalBaseball.com. Dave Doghouse, we'll talk to you both Tuesday night.
Go Nats.